This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The Kalamazoo Gay Lesbian Resource Center has a new executive director. Jay Maddock was appointed earlier this month. He served as program director of the organization since 2012. Maddock takes over at a time when issues such as gay marriage and discrimination protection are being decided in the courts and debated in the legislature. Jay Maddock, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's do a little background first on the Gay Lesbian Resource Center in Kalamazoo. Tell people about the organization, what it does, what it's doing on a day-to-day basis, I guess.
Yeah, the Kalamazoo Gay Lesbian Resource Center has been an organization in Kalamazoo for over 26 years, trying to serve the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning community and their allies in the greater Kalamazoo area. We have programs for youth, programs for seniors, and we have social events as well as support groups.
Has the organization become more visible? Has it grown? Are there more people now that are a part of it in this day and age than there were, say, when it started 20-some years ago?
Absolutely. I think the Kalamazoo Gay Lesbian Resource Center has a really rich history, full of growth and expansion, and always trying to expand our reach. And so 2 years ago was when we first grew the staff the most. So we had doubled our staff from 2 people to 4 people, and we're continuing to find new ways to grow every day.
So as the new executive director, what are some of your thoughts about how to continue growing?
You know, I think that it's one of those challenges that nonprofits face, right? How do you build capacity and build staffing? It's an issue that goes across all the nonprofit sector. And I think for the Resource Center, our goal is to make sure that we are always serving the parts of our community that need us the most and the parts of the community that are most often forgotten and ignored by the larger community. So I think our growth is making sure that we're keeping ourselves in check that way, and we're making sure that youth, homeless youth, and LGBT aging populations and communities of color and transgender folks are not forgotten or left behind in our community, and that we continue to find programs that really serve them.
And is there a certain difference, perhaps, in how people are viewed based on those things that perhaps a white, successful, fairly well-off gay person is viewed differently than someone who is perhaps older or, as you say, maybe a different race, maybe African-American, and perhaps also is viewed differently if they are not as wealthy?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, any time that you have these intersections of marginalization or, you know, intersections of identities, you know, you come with more obstacles and you're absolutely viewed differently by mainstream America. And so, you know, we've made lots of strides in the LGBT rights movement, and we've done, you know, we've had great successes in the last couple of years. And I think it's important for us to make sure that we're moving our entire community forward and not just some.
We are speaking in late July, and in early August, oral arguments are going to be presented for the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, the federal court, concerning the federal court ruling that Michigan's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional. That ruling has been stayed and is under appeal. How important is this for the gay community that you deal with in Kalamazoo?
You know, I think that the issue of marriage equality that's taken our nation is an important one in that it is an issue that and a statement that people are people and that people should have access to the same rights and should be treated equally. And so I think that in Michigan, where gay people and transgender people can be fired for being gay or can be kicked out of housing for being transgender, you know, having a court say, well, we also see you as equal, and who you love does not distinguish who has access to marriage. I think it's a really important statement, and I think that it'll impact people in our community greatly.
Now, you say it's an important statement. How important is it from a practical standpoint? Because there are people who would say that, look, civil unions can offer many of the same legal protections as marriage, and then it's not called marriage, and you satisfy people who have religious objections and those sort of things. So practically, how important is it that people be legally allowed to marry?
I think it's crucial. I think that any time in our history when we look back to have, you know, separate but equal, that's sort of, you know, a dangerous walkway of exclusion. And I think that it's really important that we make sure that people have the access to legal recognition that gives them state protections as well as federal protections.
If the court were to uphold that amendment to the Michigan Constitution that bans same-sex marriage, I realize it would probably be an appeal, but if the court challenge is ultimately unsuccessful and that amendment stays on the books, do you think it is time to perhaps start a petition drive and revisit it with Michigan voters, or at least try to get it on the ballot so Michigan voters can weigh in again?
Absolutely. I think that if the Court of Appeals does not lift the ban, this is not over. I think the fight for marriage equality has been one that's been taking state by state, and we just saw that yesterday Virginia lifted their ban. And so I think if Michigan did not continue in that trend, the whole country would be looking to see what we did next.
You mentioned earlier that people can be fired for being gay. There's all sorts of discrimination protections currently not in state law for people who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. There's been some discussion about that Governor Snyder said he'd like the legislature to take a look at perhaps expanding Michigan's Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act, include protections for sexual orientation and gender identity. Explain why you think that change would be important, what it would mean to citizens here in Kalamazoo.
Right. I think that in Kalamazoo and across the state, people want to know that they have access to employment and they have access to housing free from discrimination. And I think it's really important for Michigan economy to keep and hold talent and skill here in our state and here in our city. And here in Kalamazoo, we have a non-discrimination protection ordinance that does include sexual orientation and gender identity. So Kalamazoo has made a statement along with over 30 other municipalities in Michigan that all citizens of these cities should be treated equally and fairly. And I think that Michigan, it's time to change our Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act to include sexual orientation and gender identity so that we make a statement and that we make it against the law to discriminate against someone just based on their sexual orientation and gender identity rather than their work experience and their work ethics and who they are as a person.
One of the concerns you will hear raised about the idea of expanding those protections are people's religious concerns and religious rights. Can those two things coexist, religious freedom as well as protection from discrimination?
I think that they absolutely can coexist because if we look at the way that we want to treat other people, we want to treat them equally and fairly. And to have someone employed, it should be based on, what they bring to that employer and what they bring to that job. And I think that, protecting LGBT folks and straight folks from discrimination and protecting people from discrimination, sort of outweighs and trumps someone's, religious freedoms. And I think that, if someone was being discriminated against based on their religion, they have that protection already. And so I think it's time that we extend that and everyone will be protected then under the expansions.
Does your organization, the Kalamazoo Gay Lesbian Resource Center, have a pretty good relationship with faith organizations?
Absolutely. We have a faith alliance, and that's made up of religious leaders and lay people in the greater Kalamazoo area who are for LGBT rights and LGBT equality. And we have a really strong relationship with them. And actually, in 2009, when Kalamazoo had the non-discrimination ordinance going up for vote, it was our faith alliance that really gathered around that to really talk and bring that issue up into our community. And they continue to raise awareness in faith communities and around the greater Kalamazoo area.
Now, there have been some religious leaders, the Diocese of Kalamazoo's bishop, for example, who have said that they don't support the idea of expanding marriage rights to same-sex couples. Do you try to still strike up a dialogue and try to talk about these issues with people who may still have objections at that level?
I don't put a whole lot of energy in trying to change people's minds. I think that I feel very strongly to fight for the rights of all people. And I think that other people feel just as strongly. And there's, not a whole lot of reason to put energy into that. I would rather spend time making a difference in our community and making sure that all LGBT people in Kalamazoo and in the greater areas around Kalamazoo are treated fairly and equally and have, and have safe and affirming spaces to live and work.
There's recently an incident in Kalamazoo where a lesbian couple's house was vandalized. There was graffiti sprayed on the walls. And you said that this was an example of why there needs to be a change in state law. Explain what you mean.
So in Michigan, the hate crime legislation does not cover sexual orientation or gender identity. And so what this means is when you have a person or a family that is targeted, a crime is targeted towards them because they are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, there aren't additional penalties for that hate-focused crime. And I think that that needs to change in Michigan, because it's one thing when your home is broken into, there's a violation that happens. If any of us have ever been broken into or have had that situation occur, we know that that's a violation. But when you're specifically targeted and there are messages of hate that go along with that, it's a much more egregious crime. And right now in Michigan, there's no extra penalties for that. There's no further protections for people who face, crimes such as that.
As I'm sure you're aware, there's an argument that says that hate crimes in general really punish the wrong thing, that what we should be punishing is the action. In other words, breaking into the person's house, vandalizing the house. Why you did it is not necessarily all that important. What's your answer to that?
I think intention and the reasons behind why we do things are important in every action that we take, positive or negative. And so I think when a crime happens and we have someone who, this couple no longer feels safe in their home. There is messages of hate and threatening messages. The messages "move or die" were spray painted on their wall in their living room. And so when we have crimes that have elevated, the intensity of the crime, then the punishment and the sentencing should be heightened as well.
When something like this happens in a city like Kalamazoo, does it send a message that the community is not welcoming to gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people?
I think when a hate crime happens close to home, it affects the entire community, not only just LGBT folks, but allies as well. I think it affects our entire community, and it sort of shakes it. And the LGBT community hears, day in and day out through various sources, that they are less than, that they are not, that they are other than. And when crimes like this happen, that, shakes that foundation even more. And so I think it's important for us as a community to come around and find positive messages and find ways to come together and hold each other up. And I have to say that I've been really taken aback by this community, who has really come to support this couple and really has quickly come to take action to form a hate crime awareness coalition, and to really step up and make sure that this community hears messages of love louder than messages of hate.
And tell people a little more about the hate crimes coalition that you just mentioned.
Right. So the Hate Crime Awareness Coalition has put several organizations and community leaders together. So we have the Kalamazoo Gay Lesbian Resource Center. We have the CARES, the Community AIDS Resources Education Services, CAFE, the Kalamazoo Alliance for Equality, Mothers of Hope, as well as Badlands Strategies, and other community leaders who have stepped up to form this coalition to make sure that we're teaching the community about hate crimes and where our legislation stands and really how to keep the community safe. And we'll be holding a community forum on August 14th at 6 p.m. at the Douglas Community Association.
The incident which happened fairly recently at this couple's home got a fair amount of attention. Are there other things which perhaps aren't quite as noticed? Perhaps they fly under the radar. Maybe they don't happen quite the same level of intensity with spray painting hate messages, but still perhaps are chilling to someone and do send a message that we maybe don't hear about as often.
Yes. In the last month, there's been, at least two other cases that have been reported, ranging from, verbal assault to other graffiti. And furthermore, there's many cases that never get reported because you have people who may not be out or open to their neighbors or to their job. And so they don't want to report it because they don't want the attention and they don't want other people to find out, or they're too scared to report it because they don't believe that the community will come behind them and support them. So not only do we have other cases that are happening on a, on a regular basis, we also have cases that we're not hearing about ever.
You noted earlier that there has been a fairly, I don't know if rapid is the right word, but that there has been a definite movement in the direction of acceptance of gay people and gay people's rights. For instance, there is a group of Republicans, some of whom voted for the amendment back in 2004 to ban same-sex marriage, who filed an amicus brief with the court saying that that the ban should be overturned. What do you think has changed some people's minds? What has brought people from perhaps a position where they were pretty hardcore against the idea of same-sex marriage to saying, you know, they would like to see the court make this change?
You know, I think that everyone knows a member of the LGBT community. And if you think you don't, then you don't know that you do. But everybody does. And I think that it's come in a time in our history where it's hard to deny the fact that LGBTQ people are people. And people deserve, you know, equal and fair treatment under the law. And I think that that's really where there's a shifting point, is people are starting to recognize that, you know, their friend Joe and Tom, you know, are good people at the core, and that, you know, their friend Jill and Mary are good people at the core of who they are, and that, you know, maybe our differences aren't really as different as we thought. And I think that essence of humanness has really been the driving point that has really propelled us forward, and also the hard work of the LGBTQ and ally folks that have been putting their time, their energy, their heart, sweat, and blood into moving us forward.
And one of the things that changes that equation somewhat is people deciding to come out.
Absolutely.
And is that something which has seen a big change in, say, the last 20 years, that more people have decided that they need to be out to family members, employers, neighbors, those sort of things?
Yeah, I think that, you know, 10 years ago, people, you know, were not coming out as loudly and as proudly. And I think there's been a shift. And as more places have become safe and affirming, more people have felt safe to come out. And I think the other shifting point is that more allies are coming out as well and being more vocal about their support of the LGBT community. And I think both are vital. I think that we're at a time where we should put the focus less on the importance of LGBT people coming out and shift it to the importance of allies of the LGBT community coming out and making waves that way.
Are there other issues out there? We've talked about a number of things here, you know, same-sex marriage and discrimination and hate crimes, those sort of things. But are there other issues out there which, to this point, are flying below the radar, but we might hear more about in the next year, year and a half?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's several issues that are rising a little bit more quietly than, you know, marriage equality or overturning Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act. I think that
amending the Elliot Larson Civil
yeah,
Rights
amend,
Act.
Sorry, yeah. Amending, yeah, overturning the marriage ban and amending the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act. I think that serving the service and need for the LGBT aging population is something that we're going to start hearing a lot more, because as, you know, more people have, you know, been out over the last few decades, that means that we have more people who have lived a life open and out, who are now reaching a time where they need, you know, additional help or services, or they're going into, you know, senior homes, and those aging agencies are not yet ready to serve those LGBT folks. And so we have people who are going back in the closet at the end of their life. And that's a huge issue. When you're reaching the end of your life, you should really be able to live openly and out and really not have to worry about hiding parts of who you are. So I think
there are agencies which are saying we won't let someone in for care if they're gay or lesbian?
Yeah. I mean, you have agencies that aren't, even if they're not saying you can't, you know, come here, their messaging is loud, and they're not building a community of, you know, being open and affirming, and they're not, you know, preparing their staff on, you know, how to treat LGBT and care for LGBT aging adults. So I think that that's a huge issue, and making sure that we don't forget about our seniors is something that you'll start to hear more of. I also think that the, you know, there's been an increase of violence towards transgender people, particularly trans women of color. There's been more murders and more assaults. And I think that that is an issue that we have to take in to make sure that we're creating a world that is safe for trans folks, and a world that is safe for, you know, trans people of color, and a world that is safe for trans women of color. And so that's another issue that I hope sort of starts a much larger dialogue and a much larger ripple effect, to where we're making sure that we're creating a safe space for our entire community.
Jay, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Jay Maddock is Executive Director of the Kalamazoo Gay Lesbian Resource Center. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.